This is an intense story I read just a few weeks ago, and I want to read it to you tonight. The story is literally moving, and I want to pass it along to you. 65 years ago, a six-year-old girl named Ruby Bridges walked into the William France Elementary School in New Orleans in 1960, November 14th. It was a nation that was full of unrest. It was a nation that was full of racial tension. It was the beginning of the desegregation of schools that was happening in our country. Ruby was an African-American little six-year-old girl. The other students in that school were all white. Her walk into that school was surrounded, the pictures are iconic, by federal marshals. This little six-year-old girl walked in with her school books. It was later immortalized by Norman Rockwell's painting called The Problem We All Live With. It signaled a major development. Before her first day of first grade had ended, parents had emptied the school of all of their children in a boycott. And Ruby alone that year was taught by one brave teacher. The whole school was empty except for Ruby and one teacher. Huge crowds of protesters gathered daily outside to shout slurs and death threats at little six-year-old Ruby. Film clips from that day are hauntingly difficult to watch. And here's what's amazing about the story. There was a psychiatrist, Robert Coles, who took a personal interest in Ruby and watching her and keeping an eye on her, because they were so amazed at a six-year-old's display of strength and cheer in the midst of really daily hell that was coming at her. It puzzled him, and he began to meet with Ruby each week. Here's what it went like. The one thing that was noticed, that every time Ruby was going to school, every day she walked in, somebody noticed her lips were always moving. She was walking into school and her lips were moving. So Coles asked her, "Who are you talking to, Ruby?" Coles said, "Who are you talking to?" She said, "I'm talking to God. I am praying for the people on the streets." He said, "Why are you doing that, Ruby?" "Well, because I wanted to pray for them. Don't you think someone needs to be praying for those people on the streets?" The psychiatrist responded affirmatively, but pushed even further. "Where did you learn that from?" She said, "From my mommy, my daddy, and from my pastor. I pray every morning and every afternoon when I go home." The psychiatrist continued and said, "But Ruby, those people are so mean to you. You must have some other feelings besides just wanting to pray for them." She says, "I don't. I just keep praying for them and hope God will be good to them. And I pray the same thing every time I walk into that school. Dear God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That is a six-year-old little girl. Can you imagine the fight that this girl, the spiritual fight that was going on? Can you imagine the temptation she faced every day to lash back and to respond back to those that were cursing, to those that were jeering, to those that were beginning to speak foul words? And all I kept thinking was this, is that I kept asking God for her, what I'm learning from even this story is keep your lips moving and keep moving forward. Keep those lips moving and keep moving forward. If Ruby stops praying to God and responds to the crowd, then we have a different story to tell. It's not a miracle story. This wasn't just a fight for Ruby for that moment 65 years ago. It was a fight for the future. It was a fight to move forward. Ruby's moving lips gave her the victory. It was her praying in the midst of adversity. I remember where I was when revival writer Leonard Ravenhill called me up and said to me on a phone call over 35 years ago. I was 27 years old. I was just starting a church in Detroit. I remember where I was in the kitchen. It was one of those phones mounted on the wall with the curly, how many had one of those phones? I just wanna make sure. So mounted on the phone, curly cord, and I was talking to Brother Len. And I remember these words because it went deep into my soul. He said, there's going to be a young man one day who is going to pick up this book and believe every word of it and put us all to shame. Be that man, Tim. Let me say those again. He said, there's going to be a young man or a young lady one day who's going to pick up this book and believe every word of it and put us all to shame. Be that man, Tim. Ruby believed that book. That's why her lips were moving as she walked. The Bible, Ruby believed the Bible and made history for us and puts us to shame today, puts many people to shame today. How many of us could walk through that firewall of people screaming at us and your lips keep moving? And you pray as you walk forward. After reading the story of Ruby, I realized you have to win your fights. You have to win your battles to move forward, with what God wants. Because every one of us walk through that firewall. We walk through that tunnel of jeering to respond to lust, to respond to betrayal, to respond to greed, and to respond to stealing, to respond to racism, to respond to lies, to respond to gossip. As we walk each day, it really is a challenge to us from a six-year-old girl is to keep your lips moving and keep going forward. Keep praying and keep going through. Victory in temptation is development for your future. Victory in those seasons, victory in the walk, victory when the voices are coming is development for our future. Listen to what James says. Here it comes. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Oh, this is hard to say. Then be happy. Only this side said amen. This side must really, I'm going to give you one last chance. Keep that verse up there. Dear brothers and sisters, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. This is a crazy church. I'm just telling you. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in bloom, then you'll be ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete. Hallelujah. Listen to those words again. Is your life full of temptations? And James says, be happy. The Message version says it like this. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. James is telling us when life is full of difficulties and temptations, change your attitude. Change it to joy. Let me say that again, because you keep getting lower in the amens. When your life is full of difficulties and temptations, James is saying, change your attitude. You read in your Bible, it says, consider it all joy. Be happy. This means, I'm telling you, when this happens, it means you're getting ready to move into a new season and a new chapter. So victory is critical when this happens. What do you do with temptation determines if you move forward or you move into a holding pattern or into delay for restoration and even retesting. Why is James saying be happy for temptation? Listen to me close. Victory gives you what you need for the next chapter and the next season. James says, get happy because what's happening is there is something taking place in you. In fact, New American Standard uses the word produce, to produce in James 1:3. That your testing produces something that doesn't come from study, conferences, and meetings, that can only come from testings and difficulties. He says there is something that gets developed in you, produced in you, that you can't get from reading a book. That's what God was doing. And this is what started to, as I started to read his story, what started to do something to me. That's what God did in Joseph. He had to produce something in him that his dream needed. Let me say it to you this way. When God gives you a dream, God will also give you the tests that the dream needs. When God gives you a dream or God gives you something about your future, God will also give you the test that that dream needs. Joseph's life is what sparked these thoughts. Joseph has two temptations, and one seemed to be cement, and the other was the gas pedal. Because in one of them, he failed, and in the other one, he had success. As I was reading this, I just kept thinking through Hebrews 3:13. Listen to these words. The writer of Hebrews says, "For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes." While it's still called today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down our reflexes. See, Joseph has two temptations on the way to his destiny. One, he wins and he moves forward. One, he loses and he gets stuck for 2 years. Let me say that again. There's two temptations that Joseph is faced with, that God needed to give to him those difficulties. Joseph, be happy, because this is school. This is a prereq. This is God working in you, producing something in you. So I'm gonna send you through two things. The one, he wins and he moves forward. The one, he fails, and all of a sudden he gets stuck for 2 years. Joseph would face a sexual temptation, and then he would face an impatience temptation. I wanna talk to you about that just for a few moments tonight. The sexual temptation occurred in the workplace with his boss's wife. He wins the fight, but on paper, it seems that he loses because he is sent to prison. He says no to the temptation, but he is sent to prison from the boss's wife. But the thing that Joseph wouldn't realize, that we know as we read the story, is the prison would be the place that he would be promoted. That was the place he needed to bring him to. So just because you don't understand what's happening doesn't mean that God hasn't already scripted out the whole thing. Because prison doesn't seem like a promotion, but God goes, that's the ground. I'm gonna bring you from a prisoner to the prime minister is what I'm gonna do. It's the second temptation we'll talk about for a moment, but the impatience temptation occurred while he was in prison. He was so close to the dream that God gave to him years earlier being fulfilled, that he would become a world leader. God putting him in a holding cell for 2 years, and he was stuck because God needed to deal with this thing, and I'll explain it to you in a moment, because responding to these temptations to keep your lips moving so you can move forward is so important. Joseph's dream and destiny was linked to these tests. Let me go just give them to you as God was even speaking to my own life. I wanna read to you the first test. This was the sexual temptation. It's Genesis 39, all these go together. Verse 6, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph. She said to him, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? That's an important phrase. As she spoke to Joseph day after day, this is Ruby Ridges. This is Ruby going through. And thank God, as Joseph went to work every single day and heard the words that were coming, he kept his lips moving and kept moving forward. That's what was happening. He was pulling a Ruby Ridges. Look at this. Day after day she spoke, but he would not listen to her, as Ruby wouldn't listen to those words, to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in the hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, he had fled outside. She called to the men of her household. She said, see, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. She's about to bring accusation against him or lie. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. So she left the garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke with him these words, the Hebrew slave who you brought to us came in to me and make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Verse 19, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke to him saying, this is what your slave did to me, his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in this jail. And don't miss these words. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief judge. Folks, what didn't seem like a promotion, God was going, you passed the test. Now you're going to move forward. Prison didn't look like forward, but it was. God was with him, kindness was extended, and favor was upon him. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail. So whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. Final verse. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Hallelujah. Going to prison was going forward. It doesn't seem like it, but going to prison was going forward. Because it would be from prison that he would move into the palace as the prime minister. It would be from that place that God would promote him. And while Joseph is in prison, next chapter, he meets two of the king's employees, a cupbearer and a baker. They both are put there by the king because they offended the king, and they both have dreams, and Joseph interprets them. Joseph says to the cupbearer, after interpreting his dream, something that literally was the test, was the patience test. Now here it is, and this is the part I don't want you to miss. This was the impatience test. Within 3 more days, Joseph said, Pharaoh is going to lift up your head and restore to you your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom, when you were his cupbearer. Here it comes now, folks. This next verse is what messes up. This was the failing of the test. He passes, he walks down that corridor of his office every single day. And as he's hearing these thoughts, as he's hearing these lures and the lust, he kept his lips moving and kept moving forward. But now he's in prison and something is eating at him. Something of injustice, something is coming against him. And he doesn't seem to put those thoughts aside. Doesn't seem to think that the favor, the kindness, and the blessing, the presence of God, the blessing of God, the kindness of God, and the favor of God wasn't enough. That he was hearing other voices deep inside his soul. And here's what he says. After God gives him the interpretation, Joseph says to the cupbearer these words, only after I give you this, only keep me in mind when it goes well with you. And please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh. And look what he says. And get me out of this house. Then all of a sudden, now he's going to tell his story. Not trust God, tell his story. He's posting this on social media. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even there, I've done nothing that they should have put me into this dungeon. There, that was it. That's the moment. Joseph, keep your mouth shut. I got this, Joseph. Joseph, be quiet. Whatever is speaking to you down that tunnel, like that New Orleans words that were coming, keep praying and keep moving. Don't listen to those thoughts, those inner things. I got you, Joseph. It says the Lord was with him. The Lord would give him kindness. And here's what's amazing. Joseph says to the man in verse 14, keep me in mind, and when it goes well with you, verse 14, please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh. And isn't it amazing that this is what chapter 39 said that we just read? But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the jailer. Joseph was asking for something that God already gave him. God already gave him the kindness that was going to be needed. But now he's asking from people what God gave to him, what God was going to begin to do for him. And then soon as that's done, the Bible says this, now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. That God goes, you don't understand that this was a test to move you into the future. Why is this impatience test critical for Joseph's future and preparation? Why was this even a test? Folks, I'm gonna give you my opinion. This is what I think. If Joseph doesn't show patience in God's timing, he is not gonna show patience when he meets his brothers after 20 years, the men. If he doesn't have the patience, if he doesn't have the patience to wait on God's timing, how in the world when he sees those boys, his brothers, God was going, I need to teach you something for that position. I think he was doing the same thing with sexual temptation. He says, when you get into that role, I need you to know how to say no. When you get into this role, I'm gonna teach you how to have patience with your brothers, because God, I'm gonna start to work on them. It's gonna take a little bit of moments and some meetings, but you're gonna have to have patience. That every one of those temptations, every one of those things that God was putting him through was important, because he was preparing him for the future. He was preparing him for what was happening. That's why I want you to understand, when you're faced with increase of temptations and difficulties, when you're faced with intensity of temptations and difficulties, here it is, be happy, because God is preparing you for the next place that he's bringing you. I wanna read to you a letter. I wanna read to you a letter that is close to 80 years old. It was a letter written to a young staff. It was a letter written by the pioneer of rescuing women out of sex trafficking. It was a letter written by a woman named Amy Carmichael, who led 1,000 plus young girls from the secrets that were hidden in India of being sold and merchandised. And Amy Carmichael went in there, and she would have young staff workers and new staff members that would come. And I'm gonna read to you a letter. You'll see it on the screen that she wrote to her workers. And it's a letter that I started to take to heart. I'm reading this to you as a church that's right in the crosshairs of the fight, for some of you, the fight of your life. Every day in this city, for those that are watching around the world, every day in this city, I feel like you walk through the tunnel of the voices. Every day in this city, you'll hear the greed, the lust, you'll hear it all. You'll hear all the things that are coming. And the thing that I can challenge you with is this: keep your lips moving and keep going forward. Keep going forward. Keep praying, God will take you. And the louder the voice is getting, the closer you're getting to the next place. This is what Amy Carmichael wrote, that I found this letter. She says, the fight to which you have been called is not an easy fight. We're touching the very center of the devil's power and kingdom, and he hates us intensely and fights hard against us. We have no chance at all winning in this fight unless we are disciplined soldiers, utterly out and out and uncompromising, and men and women of prayer. So first, give much time to quietness. We have to get our help from the most part direct from our God. We are here to help, not to be helped. And we must, each one of us, learn to walk with God alone and feed on his word so we can be nourished. Don't only read and pray, but listen, she says. Don't evade the slightest whisper of his guidance that comes. God, make you sensitive and obedient. Fill up, listen to this last challenge. Fill up the crevices of time with the things that matter most. This will cost something, but it's worth it. Seek ye my face. My heart said unto me, thy face, Lord, will I seek. No one is of much use who does not truly want to learn what it means to pray and listen and indefinitely choose the life that is hid with Christ in God. So she writes, keep close, keep close. If you are close, you will be keen. This is such powerful words. Not only that was written for these workers to rescue these children, it's for us today. Keep your lips moving and keep going forward. Stay in prayer. Stay sensitive. Win these battles. Those are two huge temptations today. It is the fight, the sexual temptation, but it's also the fight of impatience. We are so stubborn that we want things to happen immediately. So we go from place to place, job to job, geography to geography, thinking that somehow that we're helping God. Let me just help you. God doesn't need our help. He knows what he's doing. His timing is perfect. And what we do is when God is moving, when God is doing something, and we're going, when is this going to happen? How come this hasn't opened up? How come this door? And then we get like Joseph. Hey, remember me. Remember me. And so what we'll do is we'll try to find other places, other things, and God goes, stay put and just win the battle. Stay put and say no to temptation and yes to God. I was reading these words Leonard H. Ravenhill wrote. Listen to these words. He said, the world does not believe in the Bible and the church doesn't obey it. The world doesn't believe it and the church won't obey it. When I read those words this week or last week, I asked this question. I said, which is worse, to not believe or to not obey the Bible? I sat there with the book opened up called Revival God's Way, and I was listening to these words, and I just kept asking that question, which is worse, not to believe it or not to obey it? I think the latter is, to know the word of God to be true, but yet not obey it. David Wilkerson said these words. He said, the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. The opposite of love is not hate, but it's apathy. It's this apathy that feels no urgency, feels even this movement, this feeling, this passion to move forward, to get this right. This is the opposite of those who don't have a love for the word of God and don't obey it. It's apathy. It's the loss of urgency. It's the loss of the fire. And Amy Carmichael wrote this little poem. After I read this letter, I read this poem she wrote. She said, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that'll burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, but make me thy fuel, flame of God. This is what I'm praying for. I'm saying, God, put an urgency, put a fire inside of me. I want to be that one that believes every word of this book and obeys what God is saying. Let me finish going back to James as the band comes. James says this about that fight that Joseph faced, the fight that Ruby Bridges faced. About the fight that we all face, that tunnel we go through with the voices jeering, screaming at us. Listen to what James says about that temptation, the temptation to look at the voices, the temptation to yield to the voices, the temptation to clap back. Keep this in mind. Every one of these temptations is to produce something inside of us. Every victory produces something. We have to get a healthy view that when it comes, this is what James was saying. He said, your life full of temptations, get happy. Because God's doing something. God's preparing. It's school for us. Because every time a battle, every time a temptation, every time it increases, I'm going, oh, Times Square Church, New York City. And God goes, you got it all wrong. I'm getting you ready for something. That's why this is happening. Intensity and increase is the precursor for what God wants to do. James says this, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, but he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us, don't miss these words, and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Look at this, that phrase in verse 14. And this is what I want you to see as we get ready to close. Verse 14 says, it entices us and drags us away. That word entice in verse 14 literally means that what the enemy does is he'll bait the hook. It's a fishing term. It's baiting the hook. The enemy knows what to bait the hook with for us. He knows what to put on it and to start to lure us away. It's a fishing term. He'll drag us away from going forward. He'll drag us away from the future. He'll drag us away from destiny. And so that word entice means to bait that fish hook. Now, I heard this profound thing and I wrote this down. I can't even tell you who said it, but I'm going, this is a, so when the enemy, get this now, you're gonna wanna take a picture of this. Get ready for this. When the enemy throws in that hook, when he's doing it for Joseph, and he's going, hey, this guy can get you out sooner. When something's happening on the job and says, hey, talk to that guy, he can promote you. Listen, it's all, and you're feeling all those, and the hook is coming. Here's what somebody, so remember, entice us and to drag us away. And then I heard these things. He said, there's three reasons why a fish won't take the bait. You ready for this? Either they're swimming with a school, they're swimming deep, or they're eating regularly. Woo, Jesus. Keep that on the screen. You better take a picture of that. Don't look at me, write that down. Look at this. There are three reasons why fish don't take the bait. They're swimming with a school, they're swimming deep, or they're eating regularly. Lord have mercy. Swimming with the school means they're staying with the body of Christ. It means they're going, I know it's tiring to come on Tuesday, and I've been working all day, and everybody's yelling at me, get to the house of God. Get with your school. Look at the person next to you and say, you're in my classroom. Tell them that right now. You're part of the school. Hang out with godly people. There's nothing more that the enemy wants to do is then to isolate you. They're swimming with the school. Number two, they're swimming deep. They're going deeper into the things of God. They're going deeper into serving, giving, praying, reading, study, going deeper. When you go to On Guard on Friday nights, that's swimming deeper. Oh, that's Friday night. Swim deeper. My goodness. Why do you want to hang out? And all the enemy is just sitting there with a bait. Go deeper into the things of God. If you're in high school or college, get on the train and get to 212. You go deeper. That's what it is. When Ricardo calls and says, for the summer months, we're doing these prayer calls every single day. That's going deeper. Well, I'm busy because that's the time I use. Get deeper. Start diving. And finally, they eat regularly. Folks, I'm just telling you, you can't walk through that wall of temptation by eating only once a week on Sundays. Every day, you've got to have a meal in this book. Every day, you've got to have a meal in this book. I'm just telling you. I can't do it without going, God, I need to eat every single week. Every week, every day, every month. I wake up in that morning and I'm going, God, I got to pray. I got to dive deep in prayer. God, I got to eat regularly from this book. And God, I want to be with the people of God. What that does, it helps me to keep moving forward and keep my lips moving. I need you, Holy Spirit. I want you to stand with me. Temptation is not sin. It tries to get you to sin, but temptation is not the sin. The word means test. What is it? It's a test to prove to God you love him supremely. It's a test to say that I choose God. That's what Joseph was faced with. Joseph is going through that tunnel and the voices are coming of lust. And Joseph is walking, lips moving, move forward, lips moving. And remember what he says? We go back to those words. How can I sin against God? He sees something. He sees something bigger. That's what that is. It's God, I choose you. God, I choose you. God, I choose you. I don't choose to react. I don't choose to respond. I choose you in this situation. I told our staff last week, I said, when I carry in the Bible that I read every day, I carry two things. Every day I open up this Bible, I get to look at two things in this Bible. One of them is 5 years old, and the other one is 25 years old. It's a picture and a plane ticket that I keep in my Bible. It's a picture and a plane ticket. The picture was sent to me 1999, year 2000. And it was a picture when some of you don't remember, but the pastors of the church used to sit right up here. How many remember those days? How many remember? Wow, a lot of old people. They used to sit right here. They used to put the chairs. They had a whole row. You remember that. You guys remember that. You used to sit up here. So up there. And somebody in a man from Los Angeles sent me a picture. He took a picture. And he sent me this picture. And I look at it every time I open up the Bible, it's there for me. And it's a picture. It's a picture. Sitting in the first seat is David Wilkerson. Sitting in the second seat is Carter Conlon. Sitting in the third seat is myself. And someone said God was already planning 25 years ago what he was gonna get ready to do. And this reminds me that God is always working. And this was the other thing. I had to get them to scan it when I walked through the TSC checkpoint. It's a 5-year-old plane ticket. And it's a one-way plane ticket to New York City in the middle of COVID. It's me saying, God, you put me here. Here's my one-way ticket. There's no going back. This is a one-way ticket. And it's a reminder to me. What this does, let me tell you what this does. This is my Joseph moment when I'm faced with difficulties and temptations. I remember those two things in my Bible. This is my moment to look up to God and say, God, you're the one who said to me to get here. And you gave me, I have a one-way ticket. I said, God, unless you get me through this tunnel, unless you get me through this, my lips got to keep moving. And God, and at that point, I'm going to keep moving forward because there's so many different voices. You can't, don't go, don't do this. It's going to be hard. It's going to be this. We all hear those words. And I don't, and if I can challenge you with one thing is this, we need you to win those battles. We need you to win those battles. I speak to everyone that's on a microphone, everyone that's on an instrument. Can I just help you up here? You need to win these battles. We need you. You have to win the battles. Every day you're gonna walk through the tunnel of voices. Every day there's gonna be people, come back, come do this, come do this. Quit, retire, resign, do this. Every day you're gonna hear. Folks, look at me for a second. We need you to win the battle. God has done something in your life that we need you to win your battle. Your family needs you to win the battle. Your church family needs you to win the battle. And that's why this is so important. We have to take it seriously when those spiritual battles come. And people can interpret that as, you know, that when we say take seriously spiritual battles, they can interpret it any way they want. I interpret it as an urgency to say, God, give me a new perspective. Give me joy when it gets intense. God, Let me receive it as a sheer gift. That when all of a sudden I'm getting ready to walk through, I'm going, ooh, Jesus is getting ready to do something because it's getting loud over here. And it's really good. When it gets loud, how many have been facing some strong battles? How many is that voice of the enemy is getting loud? How many, anybody with me on that? Folks, that's when you need to say, ooh, there's a new season coming. Something, there's a breakthrough getting ready to happen. Why? Because God says, Joseph, I need you to be a patient man when you sit on the throne. Joseph, I need you to be a pure man when you go to the throne. So in order for me to, so when you go, God, make me patient and make me pure, does God just go, bloop? No. He sends you through the tunnel. I wish you can just go, patience, come. And then as you're driving through the Lincoln Tunnel, oh, come in front of me, come. In fact, all 10 cars, just come right in front of me. I'm fine. I have patience. Let me help you. That doesn't happen. So when you say, God, give me patience, he goes, temptation's coming. When you go, God, make me pure, keep my mind pure, God goes, I'm gonna send you in the battle. I'm gonna send you through the tunnel. When you say, God, give me kindness, he's gonna send unkind people your way. We got this all wrong. We just think like send kindness. And all of a sudden you just go like, ha, oh, I'm kind. No. The fruit of the Spirit, when you ask, when God is preparing you, saying the next season, Joseph, needs a pure man and a patient man. Then I'm gonna put you in impatient test and sexual temptation. Because the man on the throne, you're gonna be second in charge. You can speak to anything, and you need to be a man that has self-control. Because if I don't have that, then you can't lead this nation. And that's what happens up here. So when you're sitting up here and you're going, God, anoint me. Anointing for, okay, you better be ready. The lyrics are great, but when you ask for it, God's gonna put you in situations that you're gonna have to be desperate, going, God, I need your anointing, God, I need your anointing, God, I need your anointing. So when you want it, God goes, I send you through the tunnel. And in those times, keep your lips moving, pray to God, and keep moving forward in those times. Now, let's go back to our anointing song. Let's go back. Is that, you may be playing that, I don't even know. I'm just talking. This is what I felt. I walked through this place, prayed for all of you. And I, this is what I asked. I felt strongly about this. There's some of you that got stuck. You got stuck in that tunnel. You got stuck in that Ruby Ridges tunnel, and now you're responding. Well, maybe I should do this. Maybe we should move. Maybe we should get out. Maybe, shoot, New York City, it's too, we gotta get out. And all of a sudden, All these things are coming, and you stop moving. Now you're stuck. And now God needs to do something. God, you got stuck. And God wants to begin to liberate you tonight. He wants to liberate you tonight. And you feel like you got stuck. You started listening to voices. And God goes, no. Keep your lips moving to me and move forward. Keep your lips moving. Don't talk to them, talk to me. Don't talk to them, talk to me.
But I'm 40 years old and I wanna have a family and I wanna get married and he likes the same things I do online, and so this could be Jesus's man for me.
Okay, listen to me. Keep your lips moving and keep going forwards. Keep your lips moving and move forward. Don't talk to them. God's extending kindness. Don't look for someone to give to you what God is already extending to you. Don't do that. Some of you got stuck listening to the voices. Listen, I had it. I didn't get married till I was 33. It was coming from my parents. It was coming from the denomination. Are you gonna get married? You know you gotta get married. You need to marry someone that can play the organ. You need to marry someone that can sing. Seriously. That's what they would tell me. You need to marry someone who can sing. That's what they need to do. You need to marry someone. And I was just going like, thank God I didn't listen to them. I kept my lips moving and kept moving forward. So listen, I heard it from my parents. I heard it from my God rest their soul. They're in heaven now going like, yeah, we did tell you that. And so all that, but let me just tell you this. Thank God, because God brought the right woman into my life. And thank God, next year, 30 years. God goes, you keep walking, don't listen to the voices. Some of you have been listening. And you're getting a little stuck. It's time to get, this is an altar call. I don't think I've ever given an altar call to getting unstuck. This is an unstuck altar call. You got stuck and you're going, God, I wanna move forward. I need to hear your voice again. Get out of your seat and just get up here. Just hurry up. We're gonna pray for you. We're gonna pray for freedom tonight. We're gonna pray for victory in these battles and these temptations. Come on, let's sing anointing as you come. Come on, anointing, come on.
Fall on me.
Sing it, come on, as you come. Anointing.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall.
Come on, lift your hands and come. Come on. Anointing, anointing, sing it, church.
Oh, anointing, fall on me. Anointing, anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing,
let's sing it one more time. Come on. Those at this altar, look at me. Look at me for just a second. I would be right down there with you, because those voices just seem, we're gonna believe tonight that you're gonna get through that tunnel. You're gonna get through that tunnel tonight. Those voices are coming. Those voices are coming strong. See, the impatience, like Joseph, the sexual, all those things are coming. But look at me for just a second. These tests and temptations, don't miss this, is to get you ready for what he's preparing you for. That's why you're going through this. That's why you're faced with this. So let me make a plea with you tonight. We need you to win this battle. We need you to win this battle. The church needs you to win. Your family needs you to win. Your roommates need you to win this battle. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna keep our lips moving and we're gonna move forward. And if they want to go, who are you talking to? I'm talking to Jesus. So here's what, I want you to lift your hands all over this place. And now what we're going to do is this. You may not be able to do it in your office or in your school or your classroom, but you sure can do it here. I'm going to ask you to get your lips moving, but you let sound come out. Just go ahead and say, God, I need your help. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to hear what you have to say. Father, with our hands lifted up tonight, we're going to keep moving and we're going to keep our lips moving, Lord God. Father, these precious people, we're all going through that tunnel. That God, we're hearing the voices. We're hearing all the things that are calling us to be impatient, that are calling us to lust, calling us to greed, calling us to lie, calling us to steal, calling us to cheat. But God, I'm praying we're gonna keep our lips moving tonight. And God, we're gonna begin to move forward. I pray for victory in this house. Victory in these battles right now. Send victory, Lord God. Father, I'm gonna pray that you're gonna give them an unusual strength, that God, for some of them, that when they walk outside these doors, the battle's gonna be there, the voices are gonna be there. It may be waiting for them on their phone in a text or a voicemail, but God, we're gonna put that aside, we're gonna keep our lips moving, talking to God, and we are going to move forward. Father, I believe there are leaders in this room. I believe, Lord God, there are folks in this room that you are going to begin to open up new doors. But they got to get the anointing of God for this season. They need your anointing. And God, what you're doing is you're preparing them for that next season. So God, on this night, let this be a night of victory. A night of victory. And so, God, I'm going to believe for victory tonight. Victory tonight, Lord God. Victory tonight. Just receive it right now. Just say, God, I receive, God, everything you have for me right now. That mighty anointing of God to come around. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on us. Father, I'm praying this for those that are watching online, those that are listening from Suriname all the way to the Philippines, for those in New Zealand, for those in Guam, the Navajo Nation, Canada, Lord God, for those that right now are watching from Austria, New Zealand, those, Lord God, that are in Cook Island, I'm praying for those that, God, you would begin to bring victory right now. We need victory in Australia. We need victory in the UK. We need victory in Ireland. We need victory in Germany. We need victory, oh God. Right now, I'm believing in Malaysia. I'm believing for victory, Lord God, that, God, you would begin to work it in Armenia. Send your victory right now. Victory right here in New York, in Brooklyn, and Staten Island. Victory in New Jersey. Victory in the Bronx. Victory on Long Island, oh God. Victory in Queens, oh God. God, as we get into that literal tunnel in the subway, victory in the subway, oh God. Victory wherever we go. I'm praying these students, these business people, moms, these finance people, those in the medical world, technology, those from the UN, wherever, God, victory. Keep our lips moving, talking to you, and may we move forward tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.